How many of you read this book? Hallelujah. Wow. Just most of all the crowd. You wouldn't believe it. We happen to have the guy that wrote the book here tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if he's ever read it, but he wrote it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the thing I love about Pastor Dave the most is there's no under-the-counter stuff. That's what I like. It's like, what do you guys talk about when you're alone driving down the road or in private? Same stuff. Hallelujah. He's not giving me the under-the-counter stuff and giving you the over-the-counter stuff. It's all the same. And we were talking this afternoon, March will be 16 years that I've known him. And I can tell you this, the thing I love about this man the most is that he practices what he preaches. Now, isn't that a novelty that preachers actually do what they ask you to do? That's a real novelty. Hallelujah. But it shows up in his ministry, doesn't it? Praise God. He's got a call to the foundation, a tremendous call to doctrine. And I really, really feel safe having that covering over this ministry. And I'm really, really privileged to that. When the Holy Spirit said to him many, many years ago, and I knew him before this book ever came out, and when he held it in his hand, he said, I'm going to use this for the foundation of the church. He did not. At the time, he didn't believe it. You know what he said last night? Get thee behind me. But truly, it has become a major part of that foundation that God is putting back in the earth concerning the gifts of the Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit. Would you give our pastor, Pastor Dave Roberson, a great big hand? Amen.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious. I'm thinking, who were we talking about? I'd like to meet him. Hallelujah, Jesus. You go minister and stuff, and you don't think a lot about it. I mean, you do, but not in the way people do that on the other end. And things happen, and I just look at them like, yeah, you know, this is what he does. But then the people will start talking, and I'll start hearing things, and I don't even know who they're talking about. And so sometimes when they tell me, I go, oh, what? The stories sound different when people are telling them. You know, sometimes they didn't know the inside story. But people. Three different times I've had the privilege to preach in a diverse tongue that I didn't know. Spanish once, and then French. I was in Canada then. I preached in French. Had to have somebody tell me what I said. But in Spanish, I called a woman out and gonna lay hands on her, but all of a sudden tongues came, and the tongues went on for a while, and then I got done. I prayed for her, but I waited for an interpretation of the tongues because it was in a public assembly and it had none come. Then come to find out, I told her everything that was wrong with her, and then God's gonna heal her, and she got healed, and I didn't even know nothing happened. You feel used, you know, like. But the diverse tongues, You know, he wasn't just our edification, for interpretation. And for preaching, for communicating in languages you don't know. And the deep intercessional groanings that turn into from time to time when you pray your way past a major problem. And you stand there and sometimes you get a look at it for what it really is. You know, it's just standing in your road and you've never been able to get past it. And you keep praying in tongues and one day He opens your eyes where you can see it. And usually it's so horrible that you start, oh God, I can't do it. I'm not going to leave that there anymore. I can't take this. I didn't know it was that ugly, hardly. And you actually will start crying and groaning. And it, God, I'm so glad this is gone. And it moves it out of the path. Stronghold is a system of thought empowered by emotion. And He started killing those things. They can breed anything from fear and failure to self-exaltation on a stupid level. See? But the thing is, they can't hardly get past a prayer that you're not originating. He is. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we can know all things will be turned into the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So when He knows the plan, all these things are coming towards you to intercept you and knock you around a little and this and that. He'll start ordering it and put you on a collision course with the good. That at this intersection and that, God's got this planned and this will come in, that'll come in, and all things will start working together for the good of them that love God. Called according to His purpose. And can I work that on purpose? Just as purpose. Now don't overdo it. I don't want to say this. Just as purpose as... Okay. Do you put your makeup on when you get up? Women. Hallelujah. So He's out there working that plan. And God loves you so much that I can't get over it. I've preached on it for 40 years. I can't get over it. That He loved me so much that a person of the Godhead came to step down in me and take up His abode. I don't even know how He does that. If He's in me, how can you have Him? Maybe you don't. How does He do that? You know? And here He is. He's taken up His abode on the inside of us. And Jesus talked about Him. He says, and He will. He'll guide you. He'll put a rope around you and drag you along. No, He'll guide you. Guide you into all truth. But you notice, you know, it's not just automatic. I mean, what truth did you get guided into? The Holy Ghost is... About speaking in tongues isn't for today. Get in the corner. It isn't always Him. But one thing for sure, you can't habitually pray in tongues and have the stupid things keep ordering your life. Amen. You can't do it because you're not letting go of the truth, and pretty soon it has to replace it. And the devil tried to pull, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your time. Shut up. Especially in the early days, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You could be doing this. You could be doing... You're wasting your time. Go back to work. Boy, I just kept praying and praying, and I didn't know all those things that was in Romans, especially in 7 and 8, and on through the incredible things when they all fit together. And you think, How can He possibly use us like that? But He does. So now the Holy Spirit is out here working the plan. I wouldn't have called me like I've talked in the past. I couldn't give oral reports and I couldn't talk in public. I couldn't do anything hardly that you're supposed to. Why would he bother with me? He should have got some talented person and put him in there. I had nothing to depend on except him. Ow! Ow! There's a name that you've heard before that really helped me because I was ultra holiness. You know, I'm looking for a hell sender. I found it on the front row. That earring will send you to hell. Repent. My God. It sends you to hell over almost anything. You got saved every day. Well, Earl Hitson, you know, he was faith. I first really heard about Kenneth Hagin through him. And Brother Hagin was just going on the air at that time when the dinosaurs roamed. And he was on in Eugene. So, little Earl Hitson, I was laying that holiness stuff out on him, and he'd just look at me as patient. He's an old logger. You know, he kept a chainsaw in his back pocket. You know. One time, he didn't think I was looking, but I was, and he went. Combed his hair with a chainsaw. Oh, he was tough. He'd tell me about his sinning days. And I said, "Well, you mean he's set in bars and stuff, Earl?" "Yeah." "Mm-hmm." He said, "I didn't consider it a fight, let's just three of them." And he goes on to tell me how he knocked three guys in a sewer because they made him mad. They took them out of the bar and they fought. He fought them all at once, knocked them in a sewer. Didn't have a top on it. Can you imagine an old bar throw-up sewer? So Earl's telling me about faith, you know, and I'm ultra holiness. I remember the first prayer meeting we went to with him. He did the talking, then he left like I was talking about the other day, and I stayed behind, and they asked me, "What'd you think?" I don't think much of a religion you can't feel. Because he was saying, "I'm not moved by what I feel. Think, I'm moving by what he said, you know." I said, "I don't think much of a religion I can't feel." Boy, what a stupid statement. Class anchor. Earl, I don't know if he broke his back or what, but he could hardly even move. But he drug himself out of bed and got his chainsaw. Drug himself up on the mountainside where he was cutting. And he took 3/4 of a day. He'd get that chainsaw and he'd hold on the tree and he'd get it back and then he'd start it. And he'd put it on the tree and it'd just skin down like that and he'd fall down again. But he'd do it again. And every time he kept saying, "No, nope, I'm healed." So I say, "That mountain be removed, cast into the sea, and doubt not in my heart I have what I say." And I say that I am healed. You just skin it down and it'd fall. He was up there 3/4 of a day doing that. But I don't know about the 30th or 40th time or something that he pulled himself together, picked this all up, tried it. All of a sudden, all of his strength came back. He hit that tree and ripped through it. He came running down, yelling, completely healed. He just wouldn't stop. See, in him teaching me, that he had a stubborn streak, but he was so, I mean, you see, he'd be, I'd say, "Earl, teach on faith." And he'd say, "I went out to rope this sow that was out in the pen, just weighed about 900 pounds probably." And he said, "I roped it and it charged the horse, knocked the horse down, and I took the end of the rope and tied it on two freestanding post, and the hog mauled that horse and then came after me, and I ran fast as I could for the fence and was scooching up, and I couldn't get under it. And she came up and stuck her face, my face, in her mouth. Then he went I said, "Get on with it, Earl." He said, "She snapped it," and he put his head back. And he pulled her up just short where her head went back, and he lived. Well, I'd say, "Oh, well, you teach." Teach, and he'd go, "Yeah, well,
okay."
I believe I have what I say. And I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. Yeah. And one time there was a kid that was sick, and he was dying, and he made a stand and confessed the word over him hour after hour. And the boy came back. He came back. Car goes by. He lived. Yeah, he lived. I wanted to yell, "Earl, get on with it." When he'd drive me to a meeting, he'd get to talking. Cars would be lined up behind us, about 30 of them trying to get by. I said, "Earl." He'd go, "Oh." Those are the days my initiation from ultra holiness to faith. I can't tell you the hours we sat and prayed in tongues, and I just did it because I committed so much time. I said, "I'm going to go down and pray the hours I worked," and so I figured if I did that, he'd pay me. He would pay me for it, because definitely I had a visitation to leave my job. Now, I woke up and I opened my eyes and I was in the auditorium just sitting there. And somebody had to stand and they was announcing, and I know it was my meeting and they were getting ready to announce me. I knew that, so I got ready to get up, you know. And they says, "And now our evangelist." And I started to stand up, you know. And she turns to the curtain and says some name, and they come out. And the other person was a woman too. She says, "I don't know why God gave me this ministry. One of you must have failed." And the whole crowd disappeared, and I was the only one out there. I gave in my resignation. 2 week notice at the mill. I says, "I can't. I have to go." So we had an old destroyed bowling alley that they let us use it just to pay the tax on it. And so I petitioned off the front, and I would go down there, and I thought, "Well, I have to pray the hours that I worked the job. That must be it." And so I didn't know how it would affect. And I tried to pray in English, and I just flat run out in the first half a day. So I started praying in tongues, and the only thing I was wondering is if you can do that. Is that legal to pray in tongues anytime you want, or does he have to come on you? I didn't know, but I had to gamble on it because I didn't have anything else to do. So I'd start praying. I said, "Hare me, sore me, toot dama soro toro porati me tim." Yeah. dura misericim. Time and a son to toke the man. So the abode and art gone it. No, the abode and the misericim. Padale and ask him. Oh, what time is it? What time is it? What? An hour and a half? Well, Earl says, yeah, you come down and pray with me. I'd been at it quite a bit longer, but I didn't know that praying in tongues was a source of revelation knowledge. Because that's ultra holiness. It was a source of revelation knowledge because the mysteries that you're praying is the mysteries that have been hidden in God since the foundations of the world, the mystery of who, what, Jesus is in you. The hope of glory. And you can't keep going without understanding that. Where do you think miracles come? Where do you think faith comes from? If we scan the surface of the scriptures and go, oh, look here. Look here. Yeah. How does faith really come? It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Why two hearings? For faith comes by hearing and hearing by what? What the Word really said. Not even our distant, opinionated variations. It comes from hearing what it really said. So I'm praying in tongues at that point. You know, I think I'm just a time killer. A time killer. I could legally say, I'm praying. I didn't know it, and Earl had other things to do, so I was maintaining it, you know, and he'd come when he could. I remember reading a verse, and the meaning jumped on me. The meanings of it. It just jumped on me. And I went, my God, is that what this means? Boy, and he came and I grabbed Earl and I says, Earl, do you know what this means? And he looked at it and said, And he started in and I knew it wasn't. So I took it over. I said, it means, he goes, how did you get that? He said, how did you understand that? I said, I was just looking at it and all of a sudden it jumped out on me. I understood it. Well, how? I mean, what made you? How'd you do it? I said, I don't know. I just looked at it. At that point, I didn't know, see, that praying in tongues was praying up the very, powerful to the core mystery of everything Christ is in you. The hope of glory. And you think that prayer doesn't deserve to be as answered as any other kind of prayer? Only when it's answered, it comes back in revelation knowledge flowing through the understanding of the mysteries who Christ is. And it as a healer, the redeemer, your righteousness. And I started going back to that holiness church, and when I got into teaching on the circle, they wondered, where did you learn all of that? And I said, by that time I was starting to wise up to the source and where it was coming from. So see, this book that we finally ended up doing, that wasn't that. You know, it was just because I carried that along the way and found out it was the origin and the source of my understanding of not only the leadership of the Spirit and guiding me, but the revelation knowledge that's laying there on those pages. And what does faith really come from? Where does it come? Faith comes by what? By really hearing. And what? And hearing by or understanding by what that part of the Word really said. When he says, you can say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. doubt not in your heart. I wished I could control my heart with my head. But doubt not in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. But then when it goes on to say, but if you got aught, because he's just telling you, if you got aught in your heart, he's telling you right there how to get rid of that. If you knew that aught or holding something against somebody, I mean, he loves that person. He doesn't want you destroying them or them destroying you. As holding aught against somebody, you're the one that comes out behind. With something in the Gospels for Jesus to link answered prayer with how much of that stuff you can turn loose. I can tell you what habitual praying in tongues does. You can't stay mean. You can't stay mean. When he began to teach me faith, you could have no idea how I felt the first miracle I saw. I dreamed about those days. But when he began to teach me faith, now faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. And it's all the evidence of the thing I can't see. I didn't know that the tongues bypassed my mind on purpose and went straight to my heart. I didn't know that he'd provide a plan to succeed when everything we do fails. What kind of father is he? He is a good one. See, he is a good one. So contained within that was my calling. It was everything. So when I launched out then and began to minister, and I started seeing God do things, it was, you can have no idea the miracle to me it was to just walk up to the front the first time. The miracle to be able to stand before a crowd and actually talk. See, I couldn't even figure out why he called me, but I didn't have a smooth flow. I didn't have none of the, I could throw him out. But evidently, that's not what he looks for, because he can accomplish anything in you that you'll let him. You don't have to be sophisticated and can sing real good and all of that like me. What are you trying to tell us? Well, near the end of 4 or 5 days, I'm usually not talking like this. But the most important thing and powerful you can carry away from these meetings is for you deciding to make some kind of decision, because it takes you to decide that you're going to give yourself to those mysteries. And you're not going to stay the same. The devil will come after you kind of get a little tired. And, uh-oh, I'd rather just watch TV tonight. You know, he'll come and he'll attack in all those areas. But I'll tell you what, the first time is you're standing before an impossible situation and he does the whole thing, whether it's with a relative or where or what, and you watch him move the way he can move, you'll just break down and bawl and wonder, you know, why you're so blessed that you found this stuff out. So these years have went by, and if I told you the trust level that God then kept praying and building another trust level and another, and I can't even tell what he's done through the years on different levels, that I have to know you real good and you have to be a preacher. He doesn't just leave you. He'll leave you in your call, but But whatever He can use you and what would be most effective to the body and the best for you and them in your call, that's where He'll bring you. And so I've been overseas. I've watched Him move there, here. I've seen Him do things that you couldn't even put together if you fought to. Like, I knew I had Brazil and Japan. Japan came to me. They came through Brazil. And Brazil came through to me through another person. And then I go over and start. And then everything He told me He would do, He did. I think I can say this much on a little bit. I'm on lots of TV stations and things in Brazil. And the book's in Portuguese all over Brazil. And and I don't know who's paying for it. I don't know. I asked one person, that's the only one I knew that possibly could, and they said no. So I don't even know who's paying for it. That this I do know. It doesn't matter whether I have any money or not. When God tells me to go do something, He's going to provide whatever I need to do it, and I'm going to go do it. I don't care whether I have money or not. That's not what it takes. It takes you. Money's just a side effect. For you'll see, when you make the truth of a stand, that is, you understand it in yourself, and you've also edified yourself. You can come right up to the door, and you know the next step will be through, and it'll appear to you, I haven't met the need. But you'll see, you won't get through that door before I have provided everything that you'll need. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's nothing too hard for me. Dio stiletto. Disco che letto. I couldn't even say that if I had to think of it. He said this. Don't be afraid. Let me lift you up. Don't be afraid. Let me lift you up. Don't be afraid. Let me lift you up. Money is power. You can go like that. Five trucks will come. 1,000 workers will harvest something and put it in your bank account. And when it's all done, money is power. I mean, it's just, most people don't survive it. They get enough, and it gets them. And the preachers are in the same boat. You don't know how many times I've dropped my head and wanted to weep for different preachers that I learned under for a while. And I can remember one put me on the road. So I'm going to try this new leaving out. And I had a dinner. And then I asked them to make a pledge of $1,000 each. And that's okay if it's really Him and it's something He wants for the people and that. But that's not what it was to me. It started creeping up. You know, sometimes, there's 5,000. But anyway, the people come up and they got in a line, and I did use the money to make my first journeys to Brazil. But then I found out that when money, because it did me, it started to taken a hold on me, how easy it was to get when you're in a trusted position. You trust me. I'm supposed to be looking out for you, not using you. What's a preacher do? We're handling His Word towards you. When you're going about your business every day, you'd like to have a little meal on Sunday, you know. Come on, preacher, give us something to live by. Help us out. You know, if you caught the preacher, you know, fooling around and stuff, you need to whoop him until he go get in the closet. I need to be fed. But these preachers, I watched them. I had no idea I was going to do this. I watched money, and some of them come up with me, and I watched it take one after another over, after another. And the brush I had was close enough. But I watched it. And I got up to 5,000 just one time. And I literally almost got sick. I dug in and found out that tithe was under the law. I don't care if you use it or not. That's okay. I couldn't find any place where it was represented a solid amount like that. Under the law, they were spiritually dead. You had to make them give. But us. And so when I said, I can't, in good conscience, you know, tell you that you have to give 10% or you'll get ugly treated by God, you know, uglily. I couldn't find that. If you were fighting to give it anyway, and I don't like you doing this, but I want to be prospered, you know. You're not going to be anyway. It's not to do with the amount, it's your heart. If you have to do it, stop. Stop. So I didn't mind, you know, being put under the law and given 10%. I was afraid not to. That's not how He wants to rule me. When I found out it's not, and I'm satisfied that it's not, I don't care if you do or not. I mean, you can do it. I don't care. But I'm satisfied. Do you know why I give? Because I love Him. Because I love Him, I love you because He loves you. That's why I give. I give because I love you and the lost is lost. Not because He's twisted my arm and I'm afraid I won't be blessed if I don't. I see. You were laughing last night. What's wrong? What's wrong? See, most ministers that, or should I say callings, and the helps call, helps and governments, apostles, prophets, teachers, which covered pastors and evangelists, then helps and governments, and then diversities of tongues, which they all rest on. Helps governments. There's government, thank God, they keep it organized, functioning, you know, like it should. They can really get things mixed up when you're ministering to a few thousand people in Nurgentum or 10,000 or 100,000. You need a good government. But helps. You can file that one under. That the people that are not in the governments per se doing that kind of work, but the helps, which has to do with the supply. So there's actually people called to make money and to pour that into the kingdom. Personally, I have yet to see any that make that. That really make that without it having made them. But you know what? Just as sure as I know, I can pray in the Spirit. And He's worked the future out for me, see. I know that's their ministry, but I don't need them. I got him. I mean, if he can't use what he's got in his government to meet those things so they'll get blessed too, that's okay. He'll still get it to you because that's what he does. He's promised to meet my need. He does. But there is ministries like that, and that's why I made the comment the other night about somebody that kind of had one. Where is he? Kind of had one. I think he was laying on the floor, though. Was she taking a nap? I'd want to see a real one. You know that. But if I was going to trade ministries with anybody, do you know how many preachers I've seen when the world came to their doorstep? What it did to them. Same thing. The world came to their doorstep. I mean, you couldn't look at these guys and see them operate without tagging God with it, or otherwise it would be absolutely impossible. But then to see where they went off into and what they did when money came in truckloads, I couldn't believe it. I spent my time just looking for maybe one or two that survived it. So if I didn't have this call, I'd have liked to have taken that other one on, because now I think I could pass it. I don't care how many billions came in, they would just be journeying through. I might buy a new bicycle or something. Same way with preachers. You know, God wants to use, I mean. You know what? One reason that they hardly ever get to emptying the children's hospital. I mean, who are we going to blame that on? Oh, the big little kid. How old are you?
I'm 3.
Do you have faith? And then he don't get healed, you blame it on his faith? Is that what you do? Or what? Just blame it on his parents. Maybe they're lost or something, don't know nothing. Was it his will not to heal that child? You know better than that. If that's his will, and hospitals are surrounded, so many churches, why hasn't anybody crawled up that path? Oh, it's happened in history. You know, you ever tried to tell a child why they're different? You know, the world is laboring in imperfection, so is creation. It'll all be over soon enough. What do you tell a child he has never saw, not heard? You do a hand finger talking to them, braille. We've seen movies on different ones. You know. We're standing here telling, watching what Jesus did even when the child died. And the works I do, you'll do also, and greater than these. Isn't anybody ever going to stop and find out how to do them? It's happened in history. This is the era of media. Media. Think about it. Don't have to wait for Paul to write another letter and have him carried across the desert on a camel. We got it. We got it today. Be married to one wife. What am I going to do with the other 5? We'll have to wait for another letter. So come on. The works I do, you'll do also. And greater than these, I go to the Father. What do you think the greater was? Are you going to outdo him? my water is deeper than yours. You don't have a fear of drowning. You could walk in your water. What do you think it was? The works I do, you'll do also, and greater than these. And then he put the answer on the tail end, because I go to the Father. You know the one miracle they would be doing that he couldn't then? Getting you born again. The works I do, you'll do also, and greater than these, because you'll be here at the time when it's time for the born again experience to be spread all over the world. Never anything like it. Hallelujah. But included in that, he'll do also the works I do. And you'll do a greater also. And that had to do with that. The other works was what he was doing. Raising the dead. You know, trivial things. You think he'd have left any child out? He didn't. No. Years ago when he engaged me in this fight, not so long ago, but long enough to know that when he engaged me in it that I wouldn't stop. And this is what he wants. I don't know. I suspect I'm not too old to be around when he returns. But when he does, I just want to hear a few words from him. I want to look into 1,000 tiny faces that's not seen or felt anything. It's not. I don't want to hang around and read about the miracles and wish it happened in our church. Well, they sure did in his day. The day of Pentecost, do you think that they carried after Pentecost and Jesus went home and everything, you know, and they were left there, and then they brought the sick from the regions round about, and the apostles and the people laboring there. He said they prayed for them, and they healed them all. This was after he went back home. They were special apostles. So hell was hotter than now. He's not going to do anything special. Hell's not hot anymore? Well, yeah, but he was there, you know, and he was with those people, and then he left. Yeah? Yeah, well, he's here with us. The Holy Spirit is good. Come on now. You mean, every time he doesn't heal anybody, we got a reason for they didn't have faith, or that it wasn't his will at that time. How in the world did they happen to collect a big crowd? Did it happen to be his will to heal every one of them? Now, here's the thing. I can't condemn myself where I'm walking. Why should I? But I'm not just going to stay here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go on. If you want to know why, because you can. It's gone on before. It'll do it again. I don't care. That's all I live for. Have I been 5 minutes yet? Three. So, what do you think? You think his dispensations have like, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And he's, all right. I'm on a dark age right in here. That would be nice, about one century long, a dark age. I don't have to get people, save them, nothing. What? Do you think that he elected out every person in that dark age? And so he planned that dark age, and they all went to hell because he planned that he wasn't going to do anything for that century. No, he's not the one that lost hold of it. It was the people carrying it. He doesn't leave anything out. He does everything he can. Unfortunately, he has to work through us. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Harvest is truly plenty, so laborers are few. What does he want me to pray? He died for him. I didn't. What does he want me to pray? Because I have authority here. I'll have it in the millennial. I have it now. In the new heaven and the new earth, we'll have it then. We have authority. The people let the dark ages take it over. They had the word. It had already been preached. They let it. They lost all of it. But we came back. The other day you were laughing more. I never know what's going to lay hold on me. Do you have any verses? Yeah, I got it marked and everything. What part do you have marked? Well, it's good. It's really good. He is talking about hay, wood, and stubble, and it all burns. And he says, whatever we're putting into our ministry, we're the bricks. I don't want to get into that. I'll be an hour. In my own words. Thank you. The reason he's talking this way, he told me I needed to tell you, and I said, in my own words, he said, is because of the place that I call love, that all those devils tried to stop me from stepping into. For because that manifested, I'm preaching partly out of that now, and I'm not that familiar with it yet. But yet it's growing, and it's going to grow into something more powerful. But I'm just getting dosed in it now. And so when it comes up here, you have to understand that that level is a little unfamiliar to me. Because I'm used to operating in a level and that gift and teaching and things, and I knew how to receive the next part and forward, but he keeps throwing these new things at me for the next part. And it has to do with that love of God, because it's the thing that'll finally eradicate every fear that hung on through everything else. It eradicates it. And it is the thing then that ultimately never fails. So this is the breaker ground that we're entering into now. I thought I had got into some of it before, but I didn't know anything to what's opening now. Nothing. So when I slip over here for moments in that love, and I'll get doused in it for a little bit, it just almost does me in for the rest of the service. But how many knows it's going to grow and grow and grow into all those things? Hallelujah, Jesus, Bronk. Hallelujah. Those angels that came, people ask me about them all the time now. They want to know, but could you interact with them, or could you touch them? Yeah, you could have touched them. And yeah, when you talk, they talk back. It wasn't a vision that they were passing through doing something. They were sitting in the room. You wouldn't like to wake up, have this big devil sitting in the chair where your clothes were, would you? I open my eyes and I look, and I never seen anything like that. He's a dark figure. If he had had clothes that they were dark clothes on, they were on a mission. He's sitting there, and I move my hand a little bit. My eyes were barely cracked. That's when he looked over at the other ones that were coming in. And said, look, he moved his hand over his heart. Do you think he knows you're going to shoot him with a poison dart? I don't know if that was a fear tactic or what, but it didn't work. It didn't work. And so I kind of set up. And this time I was engrossed in looking over there, so I don't know when he moved, really. He got up sometime in that point and walked over with the rest for this protection, I guess. I'd have laid into him. So they were talking English. They could have talked any language they wanted. So the rest are coming in. And then they parted the way. here comes the woman. If I find several women, I could... Her hair was straight black down just past the middle of the neck. She was a little stocky, had a dress on it, and a shirt that went out and something tied around the middle. And so she comes in, and they lit the smoking flax. And I was here, bed here. I was in this bed, and there was twin beds. You could go between them, and there's a wall there, and there's a wall over here at the head of the bed, but there's walked in over here. So I looked up along that wall over there, and she was coming down the wall with the smoking flax, and I went over there. I mean, she got close enough to try to fan some on me, and I understand from them over there that was a witch doctor with the curse of death. Well, I jumped up, and in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. I'm casting you out. You get out of here. Boy, they all disappeared fast. But they continued to chant, as I said before. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Chanted over and over and over and over. I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you. So I said, well, if you're going to do that, I'd already be dead. I talked back for a while. I told him, you know what I did? I'm a smart aleck. I told you this before, but I can't help it. I'm kind of a smart aleck, you know. And I said, I didn't rebel against God. I wasn't stupid. You're following a real stupid angel, Satan. I mean, you have to be stupid to think you're going to overthrow God and then rule of your own throne above the stars of God. And I'll be like the Most High. And you were so stupid, you followed him, didn't you? And now, you know, you're going to end up in hell burning, and I'm going to be in heaven. It got quiet. And then they boosted it up a little. We're going to kill you. All right, yeah, when horses smoke. They tried. See, they tried. I didn't tell much about this part, but I will. I go preach a meeting on some islands. What are those islands? Bahamas. I always call them Caymans, and he looks at me and corrects it, so I give him the choice first. I really had a good time in the Bahamas. I don't know why. Anyway, I was coming back home, and I got a throb here. Got worse. Got off the plane, went home. It got worse. It got so bad I couldn't stand it anymore. Rosalie called Alan. Alan came. We have a friend, Carolyn, that was staying with us, Rosalie's friend. And they kept trying to get me to go, and I didn't go. I wouldn't go to hospital. So the pain got worse and worse, and I remember the floor coming up. That's when I passed out. Tried to catch myself with my hand, but flopped on the floor. And then they started slapping me in the face and everything, trying to get me back away. Just slapped in the daylights out of me. So they finally called an ambulance. And I woke up in the hospital. I didn't even know where I was. You know, tubes, stuff sticking in me. And they kept me a couple of days or so, and they couldn't find nothing. Nothing. So I'm at home praying again. And here comes a Here it comes back again, the pain. I knew a little bit more about it this time, but I promised Rosalie. You know, she said, please. Don't be stupid, please. In other words, call, get help, do something. Then I was going to make my stand again. They said, I'm going to kill you. It finally dawned on me, this is them. Started again. So I called Alan and he came over. And I says, take me to Sepulpa. And don't bother Rosalie or anything. Then you can tell her so that she won't be all upset and stuff. So I went into Sepulpa, which is just a little small town. And wouldn't you know that doctor just come and took a look. And those guys over there couldn't find a thing. But what had happened then is an infection inside of me. It came to so fast, for whatever the origin was, so fast that gangrene was the next step. I was one step away from dying if I could. So I caught on, you know. I said, okay, I get it. I get it, you know. And so he said, I think I know what's causing this. And I asked him and things. And you have to understand, the loved ones that love me, I promised them. I promised Rosalie that if she'd let me go, then if anything happened again, then I'd do what you wanted, okay? So here I am back in the hospital. So the doctor comes out and he says, so good and everything? He says, well, he says, it's your gallbladder and you have an infection. And it was one step away from killing you. And he says, now I can take that out. And I wasn't going to do that, you know. But then again, I remembered my word that I gave. So Rosalie could sleep. And so I said, okay, well, I don't care then. And they did. And you know what? The next day I had to leave for Brazil. So I rode an airplane all night and preached twice a day for the next week with holes all over in me. But you can rest assured that I wouldn't have died. I would have woke up. I would have been okay the first time. But people love you. They do what they believe they have to. And I love them, so I won't put them through hell, you know. And I'm not going there either. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, yes. Yes, he's afraid of something. He's afraid of revival. He's afraid of miracles. He's afraid of a hospital that gets emptied in some town of all their children's diseases. Can you imagine how that town's going to try to cope and what the mayor will do and doctors and scientists will come and say, this is impossible. Well, we don't care about that part. Explain it then. Explain it. Or get born again. We'll give you 3 minutes to get born again or get out of here. Not exactly. Whew. Yes. How do you feel now? Oh, like outrunning Bronc. You wouldn't even know any mood. You're wasting your energy. No, I got plenty. He's good, isn't he? He's good. So faithful. I mean, the devil, it wasn't just one. There's about 15 that were going to see to it that I was dead. He didn't want me up here telling you this stuff. So, I don't care what you called me to. And if this billions and billions was my call, I'd just sign them over. You know, you don't care. Preach.
You're the number one preacher in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's your opinion. I don't care. There's just one thing that means anything to me now. When that means everything to me, so does the things that are right, like people and family and my relatives. They mean everything now. I've been touched by His love. And it's not like I thought quiet. I thought it's kind of a sloppy thing that you have to... Well, I don't want to give you this money. I guess I have to, because you've got to walk in love or something. It's not like that. It's a presence and a being. A presence and an existing that seems to have access to all the mysteries. Access to the power. It seems to be something that will anticipate the impossible and see it happen. Tim wants me to write a letter on it. I haven't been able to find the language to describe something that's so far beyond me. But I'm getting there. Don't look at this as something you can't reach. You know all the shortcomings you see in religion or something? That you see why. This takes care of it. Quit being mean. Somebody can hate you real bad and you do good things for them. Because it's written just on print, you think it's really hard when somebody, your enemy, does evil to you and you return it with good. You think it's hard. It's not. It's not. He's eternal. He is. Not hard. Besides, you're building your house on a rock that you had to dig deep because the torrents and the floods and all hell turns loose on it. It's okay. You dug deep in the foundation and built it on a rock. It's okay. He says, he that hears and does my sayings, he builds his house on a foundation. He dug deep below all the junk and debris and found the rocks. And the flood came and beat the house to pieces and it would not fall. Then you don't have to go back very far to the 27th verse to find the sayings he's talking about. I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Forgive them and turn the other cheek and they slap your face off. Forgive them. Then give and it shall be given. That's the 38th verse. We always use that for offering. This is when some guy borrowed your stuff and stole your stuff and you just turned around and blessed him and gave it to him. He says, give and it shall be given to you. Heap down, pressed together, shaken over will men give to your bosom, because you would not do anything but hold the blood up to that sinner that did all those things to you. You won't do anything. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And he that slap you on the cheek, turn the other one. And he that takes your goods away, ask him not again. And that's when he went into the wind down. Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven and given. It shall be given to you. Everything that sinner cost you, stole from you, to hold that blood up, He's going to pay you real well for that. You can't even understand what those chapters mean until you understand what He walked in. It's not an offering verse for a service. Anybody having a good time? Now, are these four services, or five or six now? Sixth one. All of them has been different.